Guys, I forgot about my little mic up here, so we'll just use the pulpit mic. Can you excuse me just a minute? Let me get a sip of water. This is one of my priests. So 4 weeks ago, we began this little series on waiting. And the reason why originally I was going to do it in our Sunday evening service, but then realized as I started thinking about this topic of waiting and realized this is something every one of us has to deal with, because everybody has to wait in some way on something, in some capacity. All of us are waiting. Sometimes it's not that important of things, although we can let it still bother us. Sometimes it's extremely important. But all of us are waiting in some way. And so we began by asking this question that really is kind of the theme of what we're trying to do. That is, do I do it well? Do I wait on the Lord, wait before the Lord well? And we asked it a couple other ways. There's another way we said it. Do I waste the waiting that God has brought into my life, and He's brought it into my life for a specific purpose? Do I waste the waiting? Another way of saying it, just to kind of get you a little different flavor, do I miss what God wants to cultivate and grow in me through this waiting He's brought into my life? It's not aimless. It's not without purpose. He's wanting to develop something or deepen something in us through this period of waiting He has brought into our lives. So because I've been out of the pulpit for 2 weeks, I thought I better just kind of review the key points that we've worked through, because some of you, this will be new to you because you weren't here for one or both of the services in May, or you're visiting with us. And so instead of just jumping into what the new material is going to be, I thought let's go back and review, just get it fresh in our minds again, since it's been a couple of weeks since we've looked at this. And if you missed those messages, you can go to the YouTube channel, the church's website, and you can watch or listen to those two messages and catch up. But we began with the understanding of just how much our culture attempts to eliminate waiting in our lives in every way, from through the minuscule minor ways to the more serious ways. But our culture tries to just do away with all of that. And so we see that basically every single day, where we have to wait, or how there's shortcuts to try to get around waiting, whether it's driving somewhere with a maps app or quicker way to go through the restaurant or so many other different ways. But what we discovered, what I said to you, was this: waiting in our culture has become more of a foe we try to get rid of or eliminate rather than a virtue that we try to cultivate, to let God cultivate in our lives. Because most of you would raise your hand and say, I really despise having to wait. But really, God wants to do something in us. Even in those little insignificant times of waiting, God still wanted to do something in our lives. But at the same time, we recognize we dislike waiting. And yet, it is something that's commended in God's Word. And it's something that's commanded in God's Word. Commended and commanded. And it's very common in biblical times. And guess what? Nothing's changed. It's going to be common in our times as well. And so therefore, as followers of Christ, this is the term we use, there are going to be gaps in our lives, moments or seasons where by God's design, we're called to wait before the Lord. To wait on Him. Another way we said it was this way: there will be gaps between offered prayer and answered prayer. And that can really be a struggle at times, can it? Especially if there's a big gap. Sometimes those gaps are pretty short. Sometimes they are long. Sometimes they even last a lifetime. Between when I've offered the prayer to the Lord, even offered it repeatedly, and yet I haven't seen Him provide the answer yet, provide the solution. And I'm waiting on Him to do that. And that can produce a real battle and struggle on the inside of us at times. So there's that gap period. But here's the opposite than the way we think about it. God views those gap periods as something valuable and something good in our lives because of the purpose that He's allowed it to come into our lives. But even in spite of that, we recognize that waiting is hard. It's very hard when we're in that land between offered prayer and answered prayer. And one of the things that seems to make this harder, if you remember, if you were here, we talked about there seems to be some kind of built-in little sense inside of us in terms of how long we think we should have to wait, whether it's something as insignificant as the drive-through line or something more important. We have a sense of how long we should have to wait, and that even carries over with the Lord. We have a sense sometimes of, Lord, you need to be able, you need to provide the solution in this amount of time. And now we're on this side of it, and Lord, that's just too long. And so that even affects how we view waiting on the Lord to move and respond at times. And there are a lot of examples of that in Scripture, by the way. And it's important maybe to look at those at times and see what God did in that person's situation. But one of the things we looked at 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, is that there are some underlying reasons why waiting, that can contribute to why waiting is hard. Now, let me just review those again real quick for us. Number one, because of uncertainty. I don't know anybody who celebrates uncertainty. But waiting usually produces some level of uncertainty and can produce some uncomfortableness within us, and sometimes even a greater intense feeling than just uncomfortableness. After all, again, whoever rejoices in uncertainty. But it's a challenge because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to respond. We don't know how to make plans because it's all uncertainty. How do you determine what to do when you don't know how it's going to play out? How do you make the plan when you don't know how it's going to play out? Or you make 5 or 10 different plans trying to cover all your bases. And when we're in the middle of that uncertainty, it's just kind of like we're in a place of limbo. Again, we can't fix it. We can't solve it because we don't know how it's going to play out. And if it goes on long enough, it can just have sometimes a draining effect upon us. So uncertainty makes waiting even harder. A second reason that contributes to waiting being hard are delays. And again, no one likes delays. And again, that covers a very wide range of situations from the trivial to the serious. But overall, we view delays as something to avoid, as an inconvenience. Sometimes they even produce a fear within us. But what we learned on this one when we looked at it is that sometimes delays come as a test of our trust and or obedience to the Lord. And if you remember, we looked at the classic example of King Saul in 1 Samuel 13. And he had a delay of Samuel arriving up to offer the sacrifices, and he didn't handle his delay very well. Sometimes delays come because they are a test of our trust and or obedience to the Lord. So, yep, delays can make waiting harder as well. And then there was a third reason that we looked at, and that was disappointment. It's hard to wait when we have desires that are good. They're not fleshly. They're not selfish. But we have good desires, proper desires, and yet they go unmet and they're unfulfilled. And yet we've offered them to the Lord. We've asked the Lord to provide or open the door, whatever that applies to that situation. And yet it seems like nothing's happening. And they're legitimate desires, again, nothing sinful about them. But nothing seems to be happening. And now it's been weeks, it's been months, it's been years maybe. I don't see anything happening. disappointment. That contributes to the hardness of waiting. But do you remember what the truth was that really was underneath all three of those? Really, really, really brought the hardness to it. And it was this. The ultimate thing is waiting is hard because it just reminds me that I'm not in charge. I'm not in control. And you see that with each one of those. With uncertainty, I'm not in control. In relationship to delays, I'm not in control. In relationship to disappointment, I'm not in control. And that just adds another hardness to waiting. And that really is the issue. That's what kind of feeds and fans those three things, uncertainty, delays, and disappointment. It just adds to the pain of those things. I'm not in control. And brethren, I think it is important for you and I to recognize that in those kinds of situations. To admit it. And to offer it up or offer it up afresh and surrender it to the Lord. Thanking Him that He is in control over my life and over this particular situation. We also, in the first two messages, learned a very important truth that we need to practice when we're in the midst of one of these waiting periods, and it was this. We're called to live on what we know to be true about God and not what we don't know about our own life or what's happening in our life or what's happening in that situation, what's happening with that person, but to live on what I know to be true about God when I don't know what's true about what's happening or what's not happening in my life. And you know what happens sometimes? We reverse that. And we try to live on what we don't know. And we start imagining all these scenarios. And that just makes it that much worse for us. So don't get it backwards. Live on what you know to be true about God and not what you don't know is happening in your life. And if you were here, what we did in that, and as we concluded that sermon, we began asking ourselves the question, so what can I know that's true about God when I'm in the midst of uncertainty? What can I know is true about God when I'm facing a delay? What can I know is true about God when I'm in the midst of disappointment? And I gave you several biblical examples of things that you can know is true about God. And so again, if you weren't here for that one, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that just so you can see how that we practice, live that out in the midst of that. How to live on what we know is true about God. But I just remind us, this is a very critical, essential way to respond when we're in a time of waiting. And especially if we feel the uncertainty or the delay or the disappointment. So waiting means there's a lot you don't know about your life, but there's a lot you do know, or at least there's a lot you can know about the Lord. By the way, our monthly memory verses from Psalms, and we're focusing on that little phrase, "the Lord is." Do you realize every one of those verses is telling you something that's true about God? And you can apply those in situations of waiting. I'll put them up here for you. We're only in June, just the first 6 months. But just look at these, how these apply if you were waiting for something. All right? So number one, January, the Lord is King forever and ever. Don't you need to know that? When you're in the midst of a waiting period, He's still King. Nothing's changed with Him. I may not know what's going on. I may not feel like anything's happening. But He's still King over not just the world, but of my situation. Number two, February, the Lord is righteous and loves righteousness. So I know in the midst of waiting, He still calls me to live in a righteous way, a godly way before Him. March, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God. Another name for God, but it means strength and might. He uses the name rock again, but it's a different word for rock. It means security. He's my shield. He's the horn of my salvation, or the one who's my victory and triumph. He's my stronghold. Those are very important characteristics of God to rest in when you're in a time of waiting. April, He's my shepherd. He knows where we're going. The sheep don't, but the shepherd does. And he's my shepherd. May, he's my strength. He's my shield. He's the one who's promised to help as I trust in him. And then this month, he's the one who's near to the brokenhearted. And sometimes in the midst of those times of waiting, especially if it's related to disappointment, I need for him to come and support me. So he's near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So all of these truths are to remind us things about him that we can know in the midst of our waiting. And guess what? We still have 6 months to go. You're going to get six more that may be helpful if you're in one of those times of waiting. So that's kind of briefly where we've been. If you haven't been here, like I said, you might want to get the full extent of what we talked about, but that's just a brief review. So today, what I want us to do is to look at another obvious truth. I've already kind of mentioned it, which is waiting is not only hard, as we said, but waiting is also normal. It's common. And I realize that seems duh, but you know, sometimes we forget the common. We forget what's normal. And we view waiting as something abnormal. It's something we shouldn't have to do. And so it's an important thing to remind us of. And there's a reason I'm going to highlight why this is so common. But at the end, I'm going to give you one important reason, one important truth of why God routinely brings waiting into our lives. I would encourage you to write it down. That'll be at the end, but I would encourage you to write it down so you have it before you. But let's just think about how common waiting is, biblical times as well as for us. It's, you know, again, part of the problem is we view waiting as abnormal or unusual. And again, that's part of the problem of our fast-paced society that we talked about some of those examples in the first message. But here's a little quote I came across this week. Chelsea Walt, she said, "The fast pace of society has thrown that inner timer out of balance." You think so? "It creates expectations that can't be rewarded fast enough or rewarded at all." And so what has happened is waiting has become much less tolerable in our culture because of the fast pace, instant whatever we have in our society. But again, waiting is common and normal, not just in insignificant things, but also in the important things. And sometimes, in the important things, that waiting tends to be a longer gap period. Just think through some of the examples of the Bible with me, where in very important types of situations, God called on his followers to wait and trust in him. And yet sometimes it was years before they saw the answer. How long did Abraham have to wait for the birth of his son? About 25 years. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob waited centuries for God to fulfill the promise of giving the promised land to their descendants. Joseph waited 13 years from when he was sold into slavery until he became second in command in Egypt. He waited 22 years before he was reunited with his family again. How long was Moses in the desert waiting for God to resurrect a new purpose in his life? 40 years, wasn't he? Hannah prayed for several years for God to give her a son. And if you think about it, all of the prophecies contain some period of waiting. And many of those prophecies we're still waiting on, aren't we? For the fulfillment of them. You come into the New Testament, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they waited decades as a married couple before they had a son. And think about it. Even Jesus himself waited approximately 30 years just doing the normal, everyday stuff at home. And if you've been here for that, when I've talked about that, so for put it in percentage, 91% of his life was at home in Nazareth doing the everyday stuff you and I do. Waiting for the time his father had for him to begin his public ministry. 91% of his life was spent waiting, but faithful in what he had to do at that moment. And then for approximately 2,000 years, believers have been waiting for the return of Christ. And we're still waiting, hoping it's going to be soon. And so just that little quick survey, you realize how common it is. So if you wanted to do a study on waiting, and you wanted to find a biblical character to study to kind of let you just see that, the question would not be, where can I find one? The question would be, who should I look at? Because there's so many that were called by God to wait on Him and His timing in their lives. So again, waiting was common. Waiting is common and normal for our lives. So that really is one of the central realities of a follower of Christ, to learn how to wait on the Lord. And because it's so common and normal, it should not surprise us that it's made that theme made its way into the songs that God's people sang. So you come to the book of Psalms, and you find it throughout the Psalms. Remember, these are not just Psalms that they read like we do. They sang them. So here's just a couple, real quickly, a sample. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 3. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. They were singing that, not just reciting it, but singing it. Here's another one they would sing. Psalm 27. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Song that they sang, expressing that theme. Psalm 40, verse 1, you know this one. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. You know, as you know, more than any other book in the Bible, Psalms records the heart language of God's people. And so in their struggle and through their faith, they kept seeking the Lord and His help, waiting for Him to respond. So again, waiting, brethren, is common, it's normal, even in the big areas of our lives. Don't give in the temptation to view it as abnormal, as something unusual. But let me show you one way the Bible illustrates this for us. If you want to follow it in your Bible, if you want to turn to James chapter 5, or we'll have it on the PowerPoint for you. But James chapter 5, verse 7, the first part of verse 7 says this, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So actually here we are commanded to be patient. And obviously being patient involves waiting quite frequently. And so this is a command to patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. Now, you know the context of James. The overall theme of James was here are a group of people who are suffering trials and hardships and persecutions. And so they're being told, in the midst of those hardships and persecutions, you patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. If you look at the verses just in chapter 5, the preceding verses, it was talking about how the Christians, many of them have suffered from the hands of the wealthy. That's the immediate context. And so again, James says you need to patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. He was commanding them to do this. So this is an important command, not just in terms of waiting, but in so many other areas of life where we're tempted to be impatient. But so James commands them, patiently wait for the coming of Christ. And I've already shared with you what the context is. But it's the illustration that follows that's insightful. Let me put the two verses up there, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer, he makes a major shift here, it seems like. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And so one of the things James does here in trying to make the point about how common and normal waiting is he refers to the farmer. Now, to a farmer, Farming's hard work. You got to clear the field after the crops have been harvested from the previous year. So there's the preparing of the soil. There's the tilling of the soil. There's the planting of the seeds. A lot of hard work. But then after that, in one significant way, the farmer has to wait. He's powerless to control the weather to help the crops grow. He's powerless to cause the seeds to germinate. So he does a lot of hard work, but still he has to wait. Waiting is an essential part of being a farmer. If you don't like waiting, you need to get a different profession if you're a farmer, because it's part of your job. Being a farmer is having to wait. And so why did the Holy Spirit lead James to use this illustration? And I would suggest one reason is because he wanted to remind us just how common and normal it is to have waiting times in our lives. It's just part of the equation. And it also helps remind us again that we're not in control, that we can't fix the person, we can't fix the situation, we can't change them, we can't change it. We have to wait on the Lord. And James uses this illustration of the farmer just to highlight how common and ordinary waiting is. So, waiting's common and normal. But for us as followers of Christ, it's even more true because of what God wants to do in times of waiting in our lives. So especially as followers of Christ, waiting times are very normal, very common. And here's that reason why, and this, I encourage you to write it down. Here's one of the reasons God makes waiting such a common thing in our lives. All right, here it is. God designed waiting in our life so that He's central, so that He becomes central in us, rather than us, rather than me. God designs waiting in my life so that He becomes central in my life instead of me. And you think about it, and those waiting periods, if you have done it faithfully, you realize to get through it, the Lord had to be at the center of that. And you had to constantly surrender that to Him, constantly reaffirm your trust that He's in control, that He's overseeing this, that He has a plan, He has a purpose. And as you do that, does not your faith deepen? Does not your faith increase and is strengthened as He becomes more central in you in that particular situation that's before you? That's one of the reasons why He allows waiting to be such a common thing, because He wants to be the central thing, person in our lives. And so He allows that because waiting is a very effective tool to increase our faith. You remember what Hebrews tells us? Chapter 11, 6, you finish the end of the phrase. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So obviously, God delights when we put our faith and trust in Him. And therefore, He's able to strengthen and deepen our faith. And so, brethren, the deepening our faith, that is something that's paramount in God's purposes for us. The strengthening and deepening of our faith. So, therefore, what is God going to be about doing and allowing in our lives? Will He not be allowing situations to come for the distinct purpose of deepening and strengthening our faith? If that's what pleases Him, our faith in Him, then He's going to be working to bring situations to give us the opportunity for the strengthening and deepening of our faith. And times of waiting is a great tool to do that. Live on what you know to be true about the Lord when you don't know what's true or what's happening in your life, and allow Him to become central in that situation and thus have your faith and trust in Him deepened, enlarged, and strengthened. One last little thought. Waiting on the Lord is not to be some passive thing we do. Rather, waiting on the Lord is to be something we actively and deliberately choose to do. I choose to wait on you. I choose to wait on you because of these things are true about you in this situation that I'm facing. So I'm not just passively trying to practice being patient in a good way. I'm called to actively choose to wait on Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity just for us to think through this. As we said at the very beginning, every one of us has to wait in some way, many times during the day. And it can be such a range of the important to the non-important, the insignificant to the very significant. But Lord, today, just trying to recognize just how common waiting is in our lives, because you're wanting to accomplish something. And one of the things you're wanting to accomplish is that you become more central in our lives, that you become central in that situation that is carrying with it uncertainty or delay or disappointment or all three of them. And you're wanting to become more central in our lives in that situation so that our faith in you is deepened and strengthened and increased. So I just pray you'd help us to catch this very important truth. And Lord, I pray over anyone who maybe is in one of those very tough waiting times. And I pray that you would encourage them through the things that we've talked about, and these truths, and they would continue, even in the face where it seems like nothing's happening, when it seems like nothing's going to change, keep their trust in you, to deliberately choose that, and to thank you and to praise you for the truths they know about you in their lives. That they'd be strengthened. And even though the situation is out of their control, that in their spirit they would be at peace and at rest in you. So I pray particularly for them this morning. Thank you for our time that we've had together. Thank you for each person that's been here, and I trust that they've been able to offer up their praise to you. They've been able to receive from you. And Lord, I just pray as we go forth this week, that as we were singing earlier, that the Spirit of the Lord would again fall fresh on us and in us and through us, so that we can be your faithful witnesses this week to the people you bring into our lives. For I ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen.